Okay, so let's take a look up here. And what I'm going to do is go through the lesson with you one more time on the sermon for today, the reading from the gospel. You would like to read out aloud with me? You can. When they received their pay, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." You know, there's something about this particular message or this particular parable in the Bible that reminds me of another parable that I learned when I was a kid. Have you ever heard of the story of the fox and the grapes? Not the fox and the hound. Okay? The fox and the... Have you ever heard it? Aesop's Fables? Okay? Once upon a time, there was a very hungry fox. And that very hungry fox came upon some grapes. And he looked up at those grapes and he thought, well, that would fill my hunger if I could only reach them. And so he began to jump and to jump and to leap and to leap. And he worked hard and he sweat and he thought, I'll get those grapes if I just work harder. And he worked and he worked and he tried and he tried, but he couldn't get them. And so he went away disappointed and said, oh, you grapes, you think you are so ripe and sweet, but I think you to be very sour and not good to eat at all. By the way, does anybody want one of these grapes then? You see, I worked it in. Okay. And so what do we have? Sour grapes. Have you heard the expression? That's where it comes from. Aesop's Fable. The fox and the grapes. Or if we were to go back another few hundred years, perhaps, the parable that Jesus told that we have today. People who are negative, people who are critical, people who are judgmental because of things denied them are said to have. Right? You know, when I think of all the movies that I've seen, and you know I do this, I use movies a lot. This was back in 84. This movie came out about Amadeus Mozart, right? And Antonio Salieri. It's a movie about sour grapes, if you saw it. Because, as you know, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart had this great talent. And musically, nobody could match him. Wonderful musician. Wrote a lot of great operas, by the way. Not that I like operas, but he wrote a lot of great operas. Okay? Then there was Antonio Salieri, who was supposedly a man of God and promised God that he would use his talents as a musician to honor him and to offer praise to him. And throughout his growing up and the life that he lived, he thought that he then deserved all the best of the best talents and that God should bless him more and more because he made a promise to God that all that he has in terms of his talents would be given to that use of worship and honoring God. Guess what? It never really turned out that way. And he would look at Mozart, who was this kind of guy, was lewd, and just a bad character in general concerning his actions and behavior in public. And he would say, look at this guy. How come he is so talented and I give myself to God and I can't match his talent? And so, guess what? Salieri devises this dark plan to kill off Mozart so that everybody would recognize him as the best musician of the day. Sour grapes. By the way, have you noticed that that's a common theme in our world today? Sour grapes. I deserve. I'm entitled, right? I'm entitled, right? You deserve a break today, so get up and get away to... Yeah. And people use it to sell all kinds of stuff in today's world. You deserve this, you deserve that, you're entitled to this, you're entitled to that. So go out and get that car, buy that house, get that hamburger, whatever it is. Everybody deserves because everybody deserves. And if you don't get what you think you deserve, guess what you do? You go out complaining and griping sour grapes. By the way, how many of you like to hear sour grapes? Anybody here love to listen to sour grapes? Here's the other question. How many of you love to give sour grapes? Be honest. How many of you feel much better after you give sour grapes? Get it off your chest. Get it off your mind. Get it off your heart. Sour grapes. I listen to it all the time. Of course, I'm not a man of sour grapes. Right? I'll never forget one of the congregations I was at. We needed more help with the ministry. And so, guess what? We called another pastor. The other pastor came in after I'd been there about 4 or 5 years, and people just loved him. He was tall, he was thin, he was good looking. And then there's me. And so he was received with such good, wonderful, open arms, like a rock star. But in my opinion, he needed help with certain things, and I could see that. And when other people would just, you know, love him up, I would sit on the side and think, oh, you got to be kidding me. And then one time he said, Russ, I don't have a children's message prepared. I need one quick for today. Do you have one for me? So I gave him one that I used about a year ago. It's the one with the banana and the staples and the tape. Have I used that one here before? Oh, good, I'll use it next week. Anyway, I gave him that one. I used it about a year ago. Nobody said a thing. He used it 1 year later, and everybody was after church talking about this children's message, which I wrote. And I gave to him, and I used a year ago, and nobody said anything. Oh, sour grapes. I'll recap the story. A man has a vineyard, and the grapes are ready. So he hires laborers to go into the vineyard at the beginning of the day. They agree on their pay. And I know it's hard to know what a denarius is, but that would be about a full day's pay today for any laborer that would go out and work in a field, around $100 to $150, okay? Day's work, laboring. Well, the owner of the vineyard, he finds that there are others standing around, and I suppose it's in a place where you find laborers that need work for the day. And it's about 9 o'clock in the morning now, and he says, you need work, go out and work in my vineyard. He never says anything about the pay. Notice that in the story. Then the guy is there about noon. He sees more people standing around, and he says to them, I see that you need work. You go out into my vineyard, and you work for the day. Never says anything again about pay. 3 o'clock, the same thing happens, and guess what? It's about 5 or 6 o'clock now, and he finds that there's still people hanging around without work, with only about an hour's worth of work left. And he says, you go out and you work too. So they go out and they work. No mention about the pay. Remember, the only ones that heard anything about pay were the laborers that worked and started at the beginning of the day. So anyway, the day's over, it's getting dark, and the owner of the vineyard talks to the foreman and says to the foreman, call everybody in to get paid, but I want you to bring forth the ones who went out to work last first. And so they come, and they don't know what they're going to get paid at this point. They're just happy to have work, whatever that work would pay. I mean, they only had an hour's worth of work to do that day, so they were probably happy that they just got hired. Whatever they're going to get, they're going to be happy with. And all of a sudden, they get paid a full day's wage. How would you feel? Pretty good, right? You'd feel great about that. Look at how much I got paid. Boy, is that owner of the vineyard generous. You might feel that way too if you were one of the 9 o'clock workers or noon workers too. Wouldn't you? To some extent. But what if you were one of those workers that was employed at the beginning of the day? How would you feel? I got ripped off, right? I deserve more. Even though that was the promise to them and them alone. Does it merit their griping and complaining? Think about that for a moment. Now, what if the owner of the vineyard is God? What if the vineyard is the congregation? What if the workers are us? You see, every parable has to hit home. In some way or another, it's got to hit home for you to grow as a Christian. And this one, you may not like too much, but it will help you to grow. What if the vineyard is the congregation and the worker is you or me? How would you feel if, even though you were promised all the wonderful gifts and blessings of God, but you were here from the beginning, whatever that beginning is. And all of a sudden, it's later in the day, and you're not being recognized like those who came later in the day. How would you feel? Probably like me in that children's sermon, a little bit. Maybe, right? What if you're at home and you married this beautiful and wonderful woman, or this handsome and hardworking guy, and you had dreams of tomorrow and what they would come? Although the promise of what marriage is comes right in your wedding vows. Right? Think about that. Think about your wedding vows. There's the promise. There's the fulfillment of what marriage is. So you're looking at your spouse this morning. Go ahead and look at them. Sour grapes? Maybe a little bit? Same with the children? You're going to have kids, and here comes the promise of the children. Oh, they're going to be great and wonderful children. They're going to mind me, do what I say. They're going to be extensions of the best part of my personality. Look at your children. Sour grapes. Maybe a little bit. Okay, you got a job. You're employed. You go to work. The promises are given to you at the beginning. Maybe a few promises of what will happen in the future. Maybe. And you go to work, and you work. And you put your sweat and your blood and your greatest desire into your job. Somebody comes along a little later, and now they're employed, but because you were employed 20 years earlier, their beginning pay, their opening pay is the same as what you're making now. Happens all the time. They walk in with this education and all these new ideas and this ability to do great things, and everybody loves the new employee. Your old hat, your old school. Your job may even be on the line. Sour grapes? Same thing in the church. I don't know how many times it happens. People who work hard in the church give themselves in leadership, in their time, in their talents, in the resources they have. They give the best of themselves. But the congregation doesn't seem to acknowledge it. The thank yous are few. In fact, what happens most of the time is people take you aside and they complain and gripe to you about the way things are going because they're not going their desired way, right? And then all of a sudden, somebody new comes into the church, takes on a position, and they're again like a rock star. They're not doing anything different than you are. Sour grapes? Happens all the time. Problem is, are grapes supposed to be sour? No. Grapes are supposed to be sweet. Grapes have a good purpose in providing all kinds of different food for the use of body, mind, and soul. They're supposed to be sweet. What sours grapes? Sin. Sin sours grapes. The devil would have nothing better to do than to simply chuckle in the background every time sour grapes are tasted. He loves it. He loves it when you're not happy, when you're not satisfied, when you're not fulfilled, when you're burned out, when things aren't going the way that you expected, whether it be at home, at work, or in the church. And so you struggle with it, sour grapes. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to let sin continue to control the situation? Are you going to let Satan laugh with delight? What is it that you will do? That's a hard one. But I will say this. If you leave sour grapes to simmer on the stove, chances are they'll boil over. And if sour grapes boil over, chances are they'll explode. And if they explode, chances are you'll have grape juice in every little nook and cranny of the kitchen. And you won't feel good about it. Same can happen in your own life, your marriage, your job, your family, your church. We do have good news, though, in all of this. We do have a Savior that would not let the grapes go sour. And because He would not let the grapes go sour, you don't have to let them sour in your own life, because you can turn sour grapes over to Jesus. Jesus always makes them sweet. How does He do it? When we repent. He does it when we take the worst of the worst that we have in terms of our attitudes and our feelings about people and those situations. We take them to Him and we say, I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to be this way. Sour grapes for You, Jesus, because You can handle them. I can't. A little humility, a little understanding, a little bit of spiritual renewal on your end, always, always works. Because we have a good and loving God that doesn't want you to live with sour grapes. He would rather have you live with grapes that are sweet. Not easy to do, though, is it? It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit working on your heart right now, saying, I don't like the situation the way it is. I would love to have it changed like the pastor says. The devil works against it. God works to sweeten those grapes. Yeah, maybe it's time to personally take that time you need to get away and sit down with God and say, you know what? Maybe my attitude isn't what it should be. And I don't want it that way. I'd love my marriage to be a blessing. I'd like my job to be a blessing. I'd like my church membership and my work in the church to be a joy. So we give him the sour grapes, and he gives us the sweet grapes. My fellow workers in the vineyard, look to Christ first in all you say and do. Don't look to the accolades of others. It may or may not come, but it usually will sour the situation if that's what you're living for. A time comes for each and every one of us to sit down and to say, I want to sweeten these sour grapes. I'm going to the Lord. And I know that when I do, the Lord will finally speak up and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have fulfilled my command, and now you are who I want you to be. Sweet and not sour. In Christ's name, amen.